Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you happen to be, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth. Thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. I'm here because you have a right to know. I'm here because you matter. Over on the radio side, for some reason, they are hearing music again, and every once in a while, the software gets a mind of its own, so those listening by radio, I apologize for that, but the software just decided to do its thing. We have, on June 30th, an opportunity for you to attend a conference, and the speakers are luminaries. They really are. Dr. Brooks Agnew, Dr. Courtney Brown, Jerry Wills, Micah Hanks, Greg Bishop. You've got the opportunity to attend this conference for $10. Now, some people are just of a weird, bent way of thinking, and they think, well, if it's $10, it's probably not worth anything. Okay, you miss out. You miss out for being dumb. Now, for everybody else, you realize it's a great value. And it really is. So what you need to do is you need to go to my website, click right where it says Alternative Universe iConference. It's gigantic. You can't miss it. Click that. Get your ticket. We're running out of time. You need to get your ticket. So do it tonight, okay? Last night, we talked about this picture that NASA put out. And it's supposed to be ultra-high resolution picture, the first of its kind, of the North Pole. And all the way through, I said, you know, I can't prove that's the North Pole. I don't know whether that is the North Pole, but it looks like it's in the right position, and the press release NASA put out says this is, it's the North Pole. And so I've gotten some emails from people who have said, well, you know, that's not actually the North Pole, that's something else. And I've gotten three different interpretations of where that actually is. From people, and it doesn't matter, because all the way through I said I don't know that that's the North Pole. I can't prove it, but look at these anomalies, and that's what we did. But I want to thank everybody who sent me email about that. I appreciate it. It means you're thinking. And, you know, it came up in the show last night. Somebody said, this is really going to get people studying and thinking, and there's going to be a lot of stuff posted. And what did I say? Good. That's what this is for. It's to get people thinking, to get the information to you and get you to think about it. We were successful in that. My guest is someone well known to all of the Kevin Smith Show audience. He's one of the most controversial guests that we ever have, and one of the most requested guests that we have, both at the same time. His name is James Horak. He's no stranger to you, and James, welcome back to the show.
Hello, Kevin.
You know, that's the truth. You are one of the most controversial guests we ever have, and you're also one of the most requested. How do you account for that?
I really can't account for it other than I know some things other people don't seem to.
Well, tonight, what we're going to do, instead of just discussing one particular subject, we're going to play the James Horak jukebox. And I'm just going to throw out some various tunes. We'll play various tunes here. various
topics.
Do
you have Chantilly lace?
Don't have that one. No, I sure don't. But no, we're going to just kind of roam, and I want to get your thoughts on a number of topics. And we're going to open the phone lines. We'll do that early. So, folks, you need to be ready to call if you want to talk with James Horak, and if you can ask him any question you want. It's kind of like BYOT. It's kind of like Bring Your Own Topic Night, except it has to be a topic that you're asking of James Horak, okay? So something you want his thoughts, his answers about. And we will open the phone lines here in just a little bit, but and we'll open them early. But got a couple of things I want to throw at you first. James, back in the, I think it was the 70s. Yeah, it was. It was in the 70s. NASA launched something called Voyager 1 and Voyager 2. And they were designed to visit some of the planets in our solar system and then leave. Just leave the solar system and fly out into interstellar space. Now, one of them, and I believe it's Voyager 1, I could be wrong about that. It's either 1 or 2 because there were only the two of them. They are reporting now that it is right at the boundary and may actually be now moving into interstellar space. What is it going to find out there?
That depends on the type of probes that it has and the kind of receivers, the band range. As far as ET is concerned, ET, I'm sure, is aware of it. And if they choose to communicate, they will. But they have made several attempts to communicate with Earth and in many different ways. But there's always that barrier between whatever they may have to say and officialdom that wants to protect the status quo more than it wants to solve problems.
Well, they I saw a news report about it today, and they say the camera on board has not worked for about 20 years now. That's convenient.
Yeah.
Of course, it may be
just
true.
Just like Hubble when it passed Saturn.
Well, you know, it might be true that it has been out there in space, you know, for decades. And it may be true that the camera no longer works. But it's also, at the same time, quite convenient. Because if it does run into ET, it won't be sending any pictures back. At least not to us. If that camera actually does work, it may send pictures back to the elite, but you and I will never see that. Now, they said it would be about 40,000 years before it gets close to another star. And so they really don't expect, if there are ETs, that they any of them will intercept it or even know about it for many, many thousands of years, 40,000 years. You don't seem to subscribe to that.
No. Chronological time means nothing to people that have the technology these people have. In fact, I wish that Arthur C. Clarke, when he wrote 2010, had an appreciation of nonlinear time, and he could have given a blockbuster of an ending to that movie that would have made people wake up and start thinking. Even those that are burdened by their mindset of protecting privilege.
Well, we certainly do have those. Okay, now, you said that you think that E.T. is already aware of this Voyager.
Oh, yes. There's nothing that, that they're not aware of that has associated with any kind of radio signal in any range, any bandwidth. And they monitor Earth very closely.
So do you think this is a positive thing for this Voyager to be headed out into interstellar space, or a negative thing, or just a thing?
Just a thing. It's looked upon as an effort that maybe at the time when it was launched had some sincerity behind it, but since then so many things have happened that are messages in different ways to the powers that be by ETs that it's a mood issue. It's only significant to people that are kept in the dark about the reality.
What do you mean that there have been messages to the powers that be?
Well, I think that when you put a UFO over a weapons site or ICBM launch silos, and they permanently disable the firing mechanisms, the homing mechanisms, the weapon system of ICBMs and warheads, I think that's a message.
And do you think the powers that be are getting it?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
You think they get it, huh?
I think they get it. It's just that they don't want anybody to know about it because they base their power on fear. And if there's somebody on the block that's got more power than they can dream of, they don't want you to know about that because, you know, then they might realize that this power play just doesn't carry with everyone.
When we talk about the powers that be in this context, and we're talking about UFOs over nuclear missile sites and over weapons areas, when we talk about those powers that be, we're talking about top generals. Here in the United States, we would be talking about all the way up to through and through the Pentagon and right straight to the Oval Office. That's what those are the powers that be when we're talking about nuclear weapons in the United States. And you have a similar structure in Russia, and a similar structure in China. So, you know, we're talking, and in India, I'm just trying to think of the nuclear powers and places where we have heard of strange UFO activity like that. So we're talking about top warriors and then the very top leader in each of those countries. And so if when you say you think they're getting it, that would imply, we'll just apply it to the United States here because that'll make it simpler, that would imply that the people on the ground know something's going on. It gets reported up the chain, the top generals all the way through the Pentagon and up to the commander-in-chief are aware they just got a message. And the message was, you can't use these weapons. Is that what you're saying?
Not exactly. What I'm saying is that in the course of the last 50 years, there have been three incidents where World War III has been averted. And it was averted because there was an intervention. And the most recent one was just a little over a year ago. So,
where did that take place?
Israel. Israel tried to launch against Iran.
And what happened?
Nothing would work.
Okay. All right, so that's something I think a lot of people don't know about. How did you come to know about this?
It was discussed with me before it was done.
Okay, now you've got me intrigued. Discussed with you by whom?
The elders.
Okay, so we're not talking, we are talking here, when you say the elders, we're talking about extraterrestrials?
Yes. Mm-hmm. The people that did it. Of course, Israel, being the mindset they have, would never believe that it was E.T. They can't bring themselves to think there's anything better in the world in Zionism or in the universe. So allowing for E.T. is just out beyond their mindset. So they thought that this capability to allay their launching these ICB or IRCBMs was due to either the United States, and since the United States was in bed with them, they put that out of it. It had to be Russia, so Putin gets on an airplane.
Putin gets on an airplane?
I mean, not Putin, but Netanyahu, mm-hmm. and flies to Moscow, invades Putin's office with threats. Putin doesn't have the slightest idea what's going on. And, you know, just in time, Netanyahu figures that out. And then he changes his tactic to ask Putin, will you agree with a military invasion of Iran? Not what they had intended to do. And Putin says, of course I won't. And so he turned on his heels and left after he let Putin know that they could take out Moscow in 15 minutes. Of course, Putin's reply, well, we can turn Israel into an ashtray.
And your source of information on this is the elders.
Yep.
I guess you know there are going to be people out there who say, oh, man, I need to get on whatever he's smoking.
Well, you know, there's so many things going on in the world today, there's plenty of context for what I'm saying. It's not like it isn't plausible and likely with all the threats and all the weaponizing. And right now, we are right at the verge of World War III over Syria. So, and you know, the fact is, there are a number of people that you've had on your show that'll back up that these UFOs have visited these sites, both ICBM silos and weapons arsenals, and changed the code.
As a matter of fact, I've had Robert Hastings, who's written extensively about all of that,
and he's right,
and got a great book out there.
He's not exaggerating a thing.
And I've had Robert Salas, who was a witness to it, and so that's true. Okay,
so why not? Why wouldn't they do it to Israel when Israel is going to launch against a peaceful nation?
Well, it's plausible. I'm not saying that it didn't happen. I'm just saying you're aware when we talk about the elders, that, you know, there are people. This is one of the reasons that you're controversial, but it's also one of the reasons you're you're the most requested guest we have. But that's part of why right there. All right. I want to talk about space travel. Now, we had a guest on the other night who is a renowned syndicated columnist, and her name is Lasha Siniuk, And great guest, very articulate, and really very interesting to talk with. And what we talked about was her statements that she has made previously, and she made them on the show as well, that space travel, nuts and bolts spacecraft, real space travel, is just not possible. I'd like to get your take on that. What do you think?
Well, for people here, it's not, and be thankful that it isn't. You don't have the metal. It's obvious that there are ET craft from out there all over the place, and that's what they're doing. What's the difference? The difference is the metal, and also that they can use or have access to such instruments as the solar anvil. Some use it and some don't, depending on where they're located in deep space. But they can, and it's because of the metal. This particular metal I've discussed before, and it has the ability to allow for an environment inside the craft that you have total environmental control over.
All right, as we went away for break, we were talking about space travel. What about, you know, when you seem to concur with Lasha, with what she says.
Basically,
okay. So then what about the idea of going to Mars?
Well, now that's not out of the system.
Okay, so you mean out of the solar system is not possible.
Not without this metal, no. And there's a great deal of damage that's done to the astronauts. There's a great deal of damage done to high altitude flyers. I go out to a military base near where I live, and every once in a while, when I'm in the BX or the commissary, I'll come across a pilot who's wearing his fatigues, jumps his flight suit. And I'll ask him, I said, do you ever fly above 60,000 feet? And sometimes I run into those that do. And I said, well, you need radical mineral replacement when you come back. And they'll say, well, what's that? Because the military doesn't give a damn about these people. They know this. They don't give a damn about them. So I'll tell them. And about 3 weeks ago, the last time I was out there, I had a pilot come up to me that I talked with, and he said, you know, I researched that. You're absolutely right. You have saved years off my life.
Well, that's a good thing. That's a great thing. Okay, so when we're talking about space travel not being possible, we're not saying that we couldn't go to Mars, or we can't go to the moon, or shoot, Pluto if we wanted to. What we're saying is you can't get outside the solar system without this metal.
That's right. You actually can't get to Mars in any expedience without it, you know, and have people the bases that are there are there by virtue of the military being taken there by EBs and their craft.
So let's talk about the bases then. The bases that are on Mars. You've talked with us about it before. Do you know how many there are?
There were three. They were cooperative efforts. Now, they did have some problems, but they're not there anymore because when they started weaponizing, ET didn't want them there anymore, so they let loose this fungus. And I hope in this interview that Dr. Berggren is going to be doing or has done with Carrie Cassidy that he brings that up. I know that he intended to put it in his book, but he hasn't written the book.
Well, now that's on the moon, though, right?
No, it's It's on the moon, but it happened on Mars, too.
Okay. Now, folks, we want to invite you to jump in here, and let's play BYOT, or Jukebox, with James Horak. And the way you do that is you give us a call. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. We want to give you as much time tonight to talk with Mr. Horak as possible. A couple of things. Make sure you have your radio turned down when you call, because if you don't, it gets very, very confusing. We hear all kinds of echo, and you hear echo and all that because of delay. And if you are not in the USA and you're not in Canada, you can call that number, but we know it can be expensive to make an international long-distance call, so we have an additional option for you, and that is the flash message option. You just go to my website, scroll down, you'll see the picture about tonight's show, and right above the picture is the link that says flash message. But if you're in Canada or the USA, please use that number. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Yes, Jerome.
Good evening, Mr. Horak.
Good evening, Jerome. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. My question is, our leaders and the Russian leaders are aware of the UFOs and the ETs. Why wouldn't Israel be aware of them?
Because they're ethnic racists in the extreme.
Boy, that's short and succinct.
Yes. Well, what goes along with that is a mindset and a cosmology that hasn't been modified in 1,500 years. And their concept of modernizing is bigger and better weapons and more land.
You mentioned that the ETs have prevented World War III.
Yes.
Why wouldn't they have prevented World War II, which saw us develop the atomic bomb?
I think they, well... Like you might imagine, they were hoping we'd learn a lesson.
Well, you know,
Oppenheimer,
it seems like our leaders
Oppenheimer
don't learn any lessons.
That we would learn a lesson.
Two is hide the threats from the public, and it seems like they're just trying to go on to develop more powerful weapons so they can defeat the ETs.
Well, it's all a show. It's a farce because they've had the ultimate weapon since 1974. You only need one of them. But war is the biggest money maker there is, because with war, you're making munitions, and one worker can produce in the munitions industry 25 times the profit for the owner that an automobile worker can produce making a car. But you don't get statistics like that, do you?
No. You know what? It seems like we have to change. We have to change something.
Yeah, I agree. We have to change. You know, there is more opposition to any kind of meaningful change now than there ever has been.
You know, it seems to me like there's been opposition to change from when the horse and buggy, when the automobile came out.
Oh, I would say that there's been opposition to social change from the very same power structure or type of power structure on this planet for 270,000 years.
Well, like Kevin says, the strongest word we have is no.
That's right. That's right. We don't hear very many people that are brave enough to say it. But, you know, I think that's going to change when they start trying to implement gathering up people and weapons and everything from the Americans, because I think there are going to be a lot of no's, very loud no's.
Boy, I sure hope so, because, I mean, it's a shame to see, you know, what they did, what the Nazis did.
Well, they intend to do much worse than the Nazis. These people could give lessons to the Nazis about being insane.
Well, thank you, Kevin, for taking my call, and thank you, Mr. Horak, for being a guest.
Thank you, Jerome.
Thanks for the call. Okay. What about you? 623-444-5889. This is your opportunity to talk with James Horak and ask him just about any topic you want and get his response on it. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Mike from Kentucky.
Hello, Mike.
Kevin, James.
Hello,
no,
Mike.
No, no, and no.
Okay.
Now ask me four questions.
I can't think of four questions I want to hear that answer to.
Well, the ones that you are the no's go to, you don't have to ask those questions because we know what they are.
Okay.
James knows too.
Yeah, I think I do.
So, I'll tell you, James, good to hear you. You need to come over to Kentucky, and you and I will get in the car, and we'll go see if we can use a radar to hunt down Kevin.
Well, I'd like to go to Paducah and find that site I was telling you about, or up to Cincinnati and a couple of places that are supposed to have serpent mounds that are hidden.
Well, they're all within reach from right here where I'm at. Easy reach. 2-3 hours maximum.
And I'll bet Judy is a good cook.
Oh, yeah. this lady that was on the other night, I didn't particularly agree with what she said, but I wasn't going to disrespect her. So that's her opinion. But, the idea of not having the proper metals makes all the difference in the world. And I agree with you 100% on that.
Yes. Yes. You have to be able to create a completely different atmosphere inside the craft, which we've seen when they operate, if there's anyone aboard those crafts, any living tissue at all, in the maneuvers that they do, they'd be torn to pieces if they didn't. So we know that. Plus, there are other features, like inside these craft, you will find there's greater space than on the outside.
Right.
And another thing is that the metal becomes a shell, and when it ionizes, it protects, it creates something you might call a force field. But this develops flight potential, and requires very little fuel. And with a certain technique that the EBs use called gravity wave attenuation, you don't need fuel at all.
Okay. Have you seen, either one of you, seen the movie Prometheus yet?
No, I have not.
No.
Well, I won't say too much then. But I think that... all I will say is I think that the what you're talking about, having to change the atmosphere and all that, is pretty well demonstrated in that movie Prometheus by the astronauts' spacesuits, not Earth astronauts, but the alien astronauts, and the way they are entwined in their craft. In fact, one thing about that, it reminded me of Paul's drawing down there in Mexico. It reminded me of that. But I hope you get to see it. It's an interesting movie. I think somebody said it was the prequel to the first Alien movie.
Well, I'm not a fan of transhumanism. And another thing, I don't have much regard for any kind of fiction that portrays ET intelligence as hostile.
All right, we have to step away for a break. Mike, thanks for the call. And caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
Me, it's Lasha from Vancouver.
Okay, Lasha. Okay, this is Lasha Siniuk, and she was our guest the other night that we've been talking about.
Have you been talking behind my back?
No, I've been doing it right out here on the radio to the whole world.
Oh, dear. First of all, James, I just love you. I just love all the work you do, and I'm very impressed. I have a couple of questions.
Sure.
I have been involved in various time cycles with the magnetic energy lines, the grid lines of the planet. And recently they've been changed. And I'm wondering if there's been any reaction from the sun.
Well, the sun will reverse that change. There have been numerous attempts by HAARP, and what is used in conjunction with HAARP, with the military satellite array, to re-engineer the geographics of the planet, not just the magnetic lines and ley lines, but to create re-engineering of the North American continent primarily. And this has been forestalled by an EMP operation in Utah. And as well
okay,
as...
Hang on just a minute, James. Lasha, you cannot hear James?
No, it's very faint, and every second word is kind of gone.
Okay. James... apparently, there's not a real good connection here, probably because of having to switch channels over here on the mixer, so you'll have to speak up a little bit.
All right. Lasha, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
All right. I'm sorry about that. A lot of the effort that has gone into re-engineering this planet to suit the powers that be, like sculpting the North American continent, which has been in on their drawing board now for 15 years, has been forestalled by an operation, an EMV operation in Utah, and the management of the sun. These two work together. But they attempted to destabilize the New Madrid Fault Zone.
They're so stupid.
And this has been... This has something to do with what you're talking about.
Yes. I'm not talking about the artificial changing of the grid patterns. I'm talking about the cycles, the yugas, and how they're managed from the magnetic. I hold energetic patterns that facilitate such a process.
You're
and
talking
in a natural
about the
way,
source
not
of,
in a military
Tesla
or manufactured
now.
Way. And I can completely understand the military understanding this, the government understanding this, and trying to circumvent it. No one's going to stand in between the Earth and the sun, though.
No. They what they can do is create another sun out of the Earth.
I thought they were going to do that.
Well, do you remember the end of... Arthur C. Clarke's 2010?
Do you know, I never saw it.
That's what happens.
Really?
That guy, I'll tell you, I hand it to Arthur C. Clarke. He had a window into the future. And if we don't reverse many of the trends that are going on now, that's what we'll become.
Do you know, I have seen, I've witnessed the Earth being formed, and I know you'll understand me when I say that. And it starts out with water. Does that mean that the water in the planet is going to ignite to become a sun?
Well, if you if they allow for World War III, there is no such thing as limited nuclear exchange.
Right.
Everybody's going to let loose with everything they have, and it's a matter of mathematics. Hydrogen bombs absorb hydrogen.
Right.
They leave the oxygen in a volatile concentration. The Earth ignites. It's simply a matter of mathematics. And what amazes me is we have all these astrophysicists and geophysicists that refuse to talk
right.
about it. Just patently refuse to talk about it. But it's a matter of just sitting down with a piece of paper and a pencil and figuring it out for yourself.
Right. Right. Recently, I've had some meetings, too. And I have been asked to go back in the past and dispel some fears. Is this similar to what you've been doing?
Well, were you watching the early part of this show?
This Kevin's show? Yes.
Do you remember when I said that I wish that Arthur C. Clarke had had a little more advantage to this mirror in the future he had? He could have written an ending that would turn things on their head. Would you
right.
like to hear that ending?
I've been dealing with Da Vinci.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. We have to step away for break. That's coming up. But we've still got about a minute and a half. So, James, if you want to tell us that ending in a minute and a half, go ahead.
I can't do it. I want to keep you on edge.
Okay. All right. Lasha, we'll get that ending that James is suggesting for Arthur C. Clarke's movie. We'll get that on the other side of the upcoming break, but he says he can't do it in a minute and a half, so we'll have to do that when we come back.
Do you want me to hang up?
Yeah, and we'll when we come back from break, we'll jump right in there. And I thank you for the call. Arthur C. Clarke was, for some people, he's just a novelist, but what they don't realize, almost everybody on this planet is walking around tied to a cell phone, a mobile phone.
Yep.
Not the Kevin. The Kevin doesn't use them. As you know.
Nor do I.
Yeah, I won't use them. But almost everyone here, the instant they're born, these days, they have a cell phone surgically implanted. And they can't even go to the store and buy a can of beans without calling home and asking someone about it. Well, your cell phone is possible because of a scientist named Arthur C. Clarke, and we'll get the ending to his movie on the other side of the break. So, caller, are you willing to hang on through the break and then through the ending of that movie? If you are, we'll put you on hold.
Yeah.
Okay, you hang in there. But Arthur C. Clarke is the one who came up with the concept of satellites that are geostationary orbits. And that's what makes it possible for you to have cell phones. That's what makes it possible for you to have a GPS in your car and in your cell phone. It's Arthur C. Clarke. If you've seen the movie 2001, A Space Odyssey, or at least heard of it, that's Arthur C. Clarke. If you've heard of a movie called 2010, that's Arthur C. Clarke. An absolutely brilliant... All right, hang in there, and just as soon as James finishes answering Lasha, then we will come straight to you, and the other caller on hold to you as well after that. All right, James, you said that you could tell us what ending you think that movie 2010 should have had.
Well, not should have, but I'm going to bring it up. I'm going to have the audacity to rewrite a great writer's ending.
Okay.
Because I think this Whereas he foresees World War III leading to the Earth becoming another star, and the system having a binary, us having a binary system. In my version, I would have, after this takes place, after the Earth has become another sun, I would have the scene change, and you see the moon traveling through space, people on it, almost colonies of people on it. It comes into this system. It is fixed in orbit around Mars. The Earth is in a state of vulcanization, unfriendly, just like it was when we first came to this system. And time passes. Our ancestors, these are our ancestors, they begin to work on geothermal energy in conjunction.
Now, are they our ancestors or are they our descendants?
No, they're our ancestors because, okay, remember I've told you.
Nonlinear time.
Nonlinear time, and this involves compression of time. So the first experiment didn't work. So it was removed like it never happened. And now, when our ancestors go to create this geothermal energy by tapping into the mantle, they have two suns to work off of, like they did in their own system. They understand how to make it work so much better because of the binary system, and it succeeds.
It might be an interesting movie. All right, let's go to the telephone caller. You have been patiently waiting. Thank you. And your first name and from where are you calling?
Rex from Miami.
Hello, Rex.
Hey. So, James, I had a couple of things to ask you.
Mm-hmm. Surely.
When you mentioned that nuclear weapons have been interfered with by the, or a nuclear war has been prevented three times, what were the other two occasions?
There have been twice that the fail-safes have failed to forestall launches. And ICBMs were launched and intercepted by ET.
Oh, and when was this?
...1963 and 1976.
Oh, okay. And then the other thing I wanted to ask you was, are you familiar with Ed Grimsley's Night Watch?
No, I'm not, but I know that it is about abduction.
No.
What I was wondering was...
No, hang on a minute. No. Ed Grimsley's Night Watch is... it's not about abduction at all. He uses night vision equipment.
Oh, yes.
To see UFOs.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I was wondering was is when he and I've been on the night watch with him a couple times, and when you watch, he occasionally sees firefights, you know, ships fighting each other, plus ships on what looks like patrol. Who are we seeing up there?
You're seeing ET knocking out EB craft as they're trying to leave Earth. If they don't have humans aboard, ET will knock them out.
So let me ask you something, Rex. Have you seen... you've been on a couple of night watches with Ed Grimsley. I have, too. Have you seen craft firing at other craft?
No, but... people in my group did see it. I didn't catch that. I just saw ships moving around. I saw what looked like a beacon, like a rescue beacon, where it was flashing and staying stationary.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I didn't get to see the firefights, but people close to me did.
Yeah, the same thing with me. I haven't seen it, but people that were standing there looking through the night vision goggles at the that moment were oohing and aahing and oh my God, and you know, they saw it. At the moment when I was looking through the goggles, I just saw ships, but other people around me did see people or ships shooting at ships. So
yeah, that would have been great to see, but I just wasn't looking at the right place at the right time.
Yeah, but there's a lot of them up there.
Yeah, we didn't have to try very hard to see stuff. I mean, usually within a few minutes of looking, we'd find something.
Mm-hmm.
So I was amazed at how much stuff must be up there.
Was this a night watch that you went to in Florida?
Yeah, that was once, and I also did it in Laughlin at the UFO conference that used to be up there.
Yeah,
every year.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, in Florida it was pretty good. We went out the Everglades. It was pitch black, so it was pretty good.
Outstanding. Well, thank you for calling, and I believe I'm looking at the telephone number. I believe you're the one I hung up on.
Yes.
Well, I'm glad you called back.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Yeah, I hung up, but, you know, we have a flash message here from Leonardo in Puerto Rico. Hi, Kevin and James. What's the reason for the fungus in the moon and on Mars, and what kind of fungus is it, and what does it do?
It's used for terraforming, but of course, with slight modification, it is extremely corrosive to metals that are used in making craft and rovers and whatever. And, you know, it's a good deterrent because it gives astronauts and gives some warning before it's too late to get away. And that rover that shoved over into a ditch is partially hidden, so you don't see any evidence of that fungus on it.
Fair enough. Leonardo, thank you for the flash message. And let me invite others around the world to participate in the show tonight, either by calling us or using the flash message feature at my website. If you're in Canada or the USA, give us a call, 623-444-5889. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Yeah, Brent.
Hello, Brent.
I like your hat, by the way.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I had to get a summer hat. That other one was too hot.
Yeah, I agree. James, I have a couple of questions for you.
Sure.
When we were listening the other night, when we had Lasha or whatever her name is, I'm sorry, I mispronounced your name. Whatever.
Lasha.
But she was saying that the Stargate Jerry Wills went through is real. Now I'm questioning not her statement, but if you're going to travel deep space, solar system to solar system, galaxy to galaxy, wouldn't it be better to go through a Stargate technology, use a Stargate technology, than travel through space? Because if you have to travel through space, what you're going to do is you're going to worry about your crew's sanity, because they're going to be out there in the middle of nowhere for a long time.
Well, that's where energy comes in. You need the energy of a sun. Energy has its own wisdom. And if you have enough energy, you can compel matter to be obedient to you. And the idea being that you can travel in such a way that you are going, you don't have to worry about colliding with any other form of matter, and you time becomes irrelevant. In fact, okay. There are places that you can get to before you left.
That would be fun.
Oh, wouldn't
now, my
it?
Other question is this. Go ahead. Sorry. My other question is this. What is your opinion of this scenario? some yahoo is going to do something stupid at the London Olympics, and the powers that want to be are going to use that as an excuse to start World War III with everything but nuclear weapons.
I think that's been talked about too much, that they'll do it there. It'll happen somewhere else. I think that they intended something, but there's just been too much said about it. So false flags don't work whenever they're uncovered beforehand.
I hope you're right.
I do, too. I hope they call it all off. I hope they grow up and start acting like human beings.
Not going to happen. They're too married to their power trip.
Yeah. I'm afraid you're right.
All right.
Thanks for the call, Brent. 623-444-5889. We have kind of a laid-back, easy schedule tonight with James Horak. And I see I've gotten two flash messages, but they're from the USA. So all that happens is I get a notice that says, flash message. All right? And it deletes the message if it's from the USA or Canada. That's why we have telephones, folks. If you're in the USA or Canada, you got to give us a call. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, this is Leah from Tennessee.
Hello, Leah.
Hello,
hey,
Leah.
I got a couple questions.
Mm-hmm.
Around June 6th, around the U.S., there was those military helicopters that's been seen, loaded. Now, I know Sheila had seen one over her house. There was one that went over my house and my son's house. And then it was all over the YouTube in several places. Does he have any idea what that's about?
Well, I see that on a regular basis, at least half a dozen times a week here. But I know what they're doing. And we're talking about Chinooks. And they're running operations that they're hauling stuff generally that they don't want to take a chance of the public finding out about if a truck that was hauling it was crashed.
Well, that being the case, why are they flying so low overhead that they're, I mean, you could, if you were standing on the roof of your house, you could touch the belly.
Back before 2000, there was a lot of that. And they were planning house-to-house search and seizure, all kinds of stuff. But the American Patriot movement started just in time, and militias and so forth. And they began to realize that people weren't going to willingly give up their weapons. So that was called off. And they're stupid. They don't realize that Hillary Clinton going to the UN to get a treaty, which is in violation of the Constitution, to make a treaty with a foreign power without consent of Congress. So she does that, and the treaty calls for us to give up our weapons. So, you know, that ain't going to work either. It's just not going to work.
Now, I've never seen them, you know, I've seen them pass over my house, too, like you have, but not so low. Why are they going so low?
They're running landing maneuvers. Let me ask you a question. If you drive around on the streets, do you see any markings in blue, yellow, or red chalk?
Yes.
Okay. So what it is.
Wow, I would have never guessed it had anything to do with the other.
Oh, yeah.
One was kind of from an interview you had done a couple years ago or a year ago, whatever. You had mentioned Hollow Earth. And I'll ask you this, and I want to be able to hear what you say really good. So I'll go ahead and hang up. You had mentioned Hollow Earth a few years ago. Never really got to hear what your thoughts on that were.
Sure.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Now, some people think that the core of the Earth is hollow. It isn't. But there, down above the mantle, there are many places where there are vast caverns, where there that have been shaped out, that where people live. And these people aren't, many of them are not human as we think of humans. But they are, they've been driven there by the intolerance of inquisitions and the attitudes of people for thousands of years on this, on the surface of this planet. But, some of these are extraterrestrials that crashed here, tried to, form a society of their own, and, weren't accepted, weren't tolerated. So things happen, and you have various, there have been incidents where green children appeared in France back in the early 19th century, and they came out of a cave, and nobody knew very much where they, what they were or where they came from, other than they somehow couldn't, they were so disoriented they couldn't find their way back.
And they could not speak the language, local language
no,
there.
No, mm-hmm. In fact, they didn't even speak like we do, mm-hmm. in enunciating with our palate.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't do that. They used the front of their mouth.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening, you two. It's Jackie from Florida.
Hi, Jackie.
Hello, Jackie.
Hi. I have two questions real quick, and then I'm going to hang up and listen to the answers also.
Okay.
I'm curious to know if the EMVs have done any work at all with the Fukushima, perhaps with the materials that they've mined. And also, I was wondering if you had listened to any of the shows and you're commenting, I'm in Florida, the comments on the 2013 perhaps having meteor strikes on our coast or out in the near long coastlines. So I'll hang up and listen, and it's really nice to have you back on, James. Bye.
Thank you, Jackie. Of course, the sunlight, the energy that is in sunlight, can give beneficial effect to radiation. It can change it, alter it, reduce it, minimize its effect. And that's being done to buy you time. And as far as, what was that other question?
Have you heard anything about possible meteor strikes on the coasts?
That was on the Monsters drawing board, and that's one of the reasons for the asteroid belt being collected and assembled into something that is safe, because all of the debris in the asteroid belt's responsible for your meteor and meteor showers and your asteroids coming through. So it's not there anymore.
All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hello, Terry.
Hello, Terry.
Yeah, I'd like to ask your guest what he thinks about Admiral Byrd, you know, and the North Pole.
I have a copy of his the book that he wrote on the second expedition. Or had a copy. I don't know if I still have it or not. It got mildewed, so I might have thrown it away. But this was the first printing of the first London edition. And only that first printing of the first London edition has his account of being abducted. He and his crew and plane being abducted and taken to the Blonde Valley in Antarctica. The tropical Blonde Valley. And he talks about meeting with the elder and what the elder told him. And that's in his original diary. Of course, all of this is hush-hush now, and kept everyone is kept in the dark about it as much as possible. But I've read it, and that's what's in it.
Okay, I have a question now. Because the diary that's floating around out there says it was the Arctic, and you're saying that he wrote in his book the Antarctic.
That's right.
Okay, well, there's a lot of confusion about that.
Oh, yeah, it's intended. I'm going to try and get my hands on a first printing. But, of course, there are people that are employed by the CIA to go out and grab these things up as fast and quickly as they can. I'll give you an example of where another nation did this. In 1909, the greatest military genius of the 20th century, Homer Lee, wrote a book called The Ignorance of Valor. It was published in 20,000 copies, between 20 and 40,000 copies, and the Japanese embassy grabbed up every single one they could get their hands on. And only about 9,000 of these ever reached the American market. And the Japanese used his book to plan out the Pacific campaign.
Hmm.
This book was stolen later on.
Yeah, I was kind of confused about that because he was supposed to be on an expedition, you know, elsewhere.
No.
From what I understand.
No, you're compressing time. You're thinking Operation High Jump.
That's right.
But what James is referring to is many years before.
Yeah.
He was part of that.
Yes.
And he supposedly was escaped from there and went on his expedition.
Well,
they didn't escape. They were just put back after they met with...
All right, we have to go to break. I'll explain it all when we come back. But you're talking decades apart there. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And my guest this evening, Mr. James Horak. On the telephone with us is Terry from Ohio. And Terry, what you're getting confused here, you're compressing Admiral Byrd and everything he did with his expeditions into one expedition. The one expedition you're referring to happened in the early 1950s, I believe, Operation High Jump. If not the early 1950s, the very late 1940s. That was not his first trip to Antarctica. His previous mission happened before World War II. So, and in fact, I think Operation High Jump was his third, I believe. Isn't that right, James? Oh, hang on just a second. It helps, James, if I turn your volume up. Did he do three missions to Antarctica?
Well, he did four. He did two before World War II.
Yeah.
And this book was about his second expedition, which was in the 30s.
Okay. So you see, by the time the operation you're talking about, Terry, by the time it happened, it's decades after he had already been there.
Yeah, I thought that he was supposed to be at one place and was in another.
Well, there's a lot of intended confusion around this because they made a mistake in letting that first printing out. And this has happened so many times. Have you ever heard of Pillars of Wisdom, which was written by T.E. Lawrence? It's Lawrence of Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
The first printing of that was a special book. There were like 25 of them printed, and they were beautiful books, and he gave those away to friends. And then it went into general publication. But in those first 25 books, there are things that are totally left out of the rest of the publications, and they throw a completely different light and on how he changed, how when he came back, he felt like he had been used for a monstrous design, and he really regretted his part in breaking up the Ottoman Empire.
Okay, I was wondering if can you tell me who these people are up there, and two, if they have anything to do with going around to our nuclear sites and shutting them down. And I'll listen off air. Thank you.
Okay, well let me clarify something. Who yep. these people are? You said up there. Well, if the information
or
that Mr. Harak is giving us is the way we go, then it's down there in Antarctica. Okay, James, thanks for the call, Terry. James, what about these people in the Blonde Valley?
Well, they're blondes, mm-hmm. and they're magnificent people. They're beautiful people. Jerry knows them. But they have been around a long time. This is their home. Earth is their home. They have a totally different attitude about how to do things. They have been a member of the extended community now for 35 or at least 35,000 years. And there is a no-fly zone over this valley today, and it's honored by every nation that has any travel to Antarctica, and nobody messes with these people anymore.
Now, are they, Terry wants to know, are they the ones that have something to do with shutting down nuclear weapon sites?
Well, they could, but to my knowledge, it's all been extended community, and I don't think too many blondes have been involved in it, because the blondes have a different attitude than most of the extended community, in that they do not want the Earth to become a sun. I mean, particularly, they don't want it. And the extended community doesn't, I mean, most of the other members in the extended community don't give a damn. So that's the situation that you have there. It's, and not, you know, when I say extended community, I don't mean these people are just in total agreement. They don't ever come to blows over anything, but that doesn't mean that all have the same view.
Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, James and Kevin. This is Rusty from Michigan.
Hello, Rusty.
Hello, Rusty.
Hello. James, the lady that was on, I guess it was last night, and she was on again tonight, spoke about going down to the center of the Earth and going through the sun.
You're breaking up. I can't make out.
Yeah, I'll interpret it for you. Rusty, what we get is your telephone, the microphone on your telephone is bad, and what's happening is we're getting a splash sound on a lot of your words, but I understood. So, James, what he wants to know is Lasha Sinyuk, when she was on, talked about to do space travel as, you know, not the nuts and bolts spacecraft kind of space travel, but as an inner journey, that she explained how you do it, and that you go down through the center of the Earth and out to the center of the sun, and from there out to the universe. And Rusty wants to know what you think about that.
Well, that's something I've discussed before, but it's a way. If you realize that planets are living things, and the more energy that they have witnessed since their birthing, the more is stored, and a planet has the potential of releasing large amounts of energy at any particular time. And if you understand geophysical energy the way Tesla did, you can draw this energy, focus it, and do a number of things with it. You can overcome the boundaries of matter, and you can move through anything. And that's what I think she's talking about. She's talking about being able to generate a focal point on which you can apply a great deal of energy, in this case geophysical energy, that is imbued in any kind of object in space, especially one the size of the Earth. And I would like to say that the EBs use this kind of energy, and I call it gravity wave attenuation. But what you do is that every specific body in space has its gravity wave signature. And you can, when you're navigating to it, you can navigate to it very effectively and efficiently if you have a setup, a computer navigation, navigating your craft, where you can enter this gravity wave and you'll be there. You'll go there. Now, in an EB craft, it's the drive, too. You enter this in there, and you're there.
Wow, that's fascinating. Also, if the Earth turns into a sun, what happens to us?
Well, you know, you didn't affect change, so you lose your mortal shell and your spirit will go where I would like to go, where I'm denied being able to go.
Why are you denied?
Because I'm part of a mechanism that I have a duty, I have a task, and I can look inside the chambers of an EMV, but I can't go inside them. You can, and you can come out. It's a wonderful thing. I don't understand why anybody would ever leave. But you have to realize that the one thing that the powers that be on this planet fear most is for you to believe in a spiritual reality. And that's when I'm attacked most, is when I bring spiritual reality into the discussion, because they don't want you to believe in anything. They don't want you to believe in what your eyes are looking at.
Well, where are these powers that be? I mean, where are they going to end up if the Earth becomes the sun?
They'll end up with you. Their spirit will end up with you.
Well,
the spirit is perfectible. This is what I keep saying. Everybody wants to see a soul go to hell and all that. That is the biggest bunch of mush. The spirit is perfectible, isn't it? Would you have it any other way? Would you have any, you know, it just amazes me that people want to apply the most mundane to the spiritual. And that's not the way you ought to go. That's not the way you ought to go at all.
Okay.
You believe you have a spirit, don't you?
I do, yes.
Well, good. Good. See, doesn't that give you a great deal more courage and a great deal less fear?
Well, sure it does.
Yeah. Think about these poor devils that are dying a thousand deaths out of their fear because they believe that all they have is this mortal shell.
Yes. Yeah, but I'd have to say it is a belief, because I, as of this moment, I cannot consciously remember being there, or, you know, I have not been there out of this ship, out of this body, so to speak. So I'd have to say it is just a belief, though.
Yeah, well, you know, that's enough. Just because you are not committed to something so much that it that you have to operate on faith alone, you know, that's foolish. It doesn't matter whether you believe or not. Your spirit, your soul is going to combine with your mind and become spirit when you die, and it'll be wonderful. It will be wonderful.
James, we have a flash message from Herbie here. I think it's in reference to the call from Leah about the helicopters. Herbie is in the UK, and he says, I just wanted to say that black helicopters have been flying over London a lot lately, a lot around downtown and then to the countryside. Thanks. Okay, thank you, Herbie. From New Zealand, we have a flash message from Rick, and he says, James, do you think that in the near future some free energy system will be developed, released, and hopefully be a force for positive change in the world? Could not the ETs, EMVs, or whomever offer some protection to allow for the safe release of this technology? I see this being the one route to both undermine the powers that be and at the same time offer humanity real opportunity to grow. So what do you think?
I wish that that was feasible, but that's not how we see it, primarily because one of the things that the powers that be have been able to do as they have sculpted the world into their own private little playpen is co-opt organizations like the ACLU, even groups, minority groups that were militant to begin with. They all come into the surface of preventing change. You know, people don't understand that if you take an agenda like animal rights or like anything that has to do with a particular group, and you emphasize it and you have a following and your people become fanatic in it, they are in effect in opposition to change because they have fragmented any kind of effort to actually construct or to lead to the kind of social change that is definite and permanent. We need change in many ways that affect the institutions from the ground up. If not, tear down those institutions and build them right. We have a social contract. That social contract in the United States is the U.S. Constitution. Now, it's not perfect, but there's never been anything since the Magna Carta more perfect. And yet, the people that have come into power and sworn to uphold that Constitution have betrayed it. And we're sitting on our buns, just throwing our hands up, saying, oh, well, you know how it is. Well, let me tell you something. That social contract's the only agreement that we have with the powers that be. And if it isn't there, then it's a new ball game, isn't it? Why should we accept their control once that they have destroyed the contract that held both of us in agreement?
Well, yeah, basically, that's breach of contract.
That's right.
Listen, we're almost out of time. We have a caller on hold, so let's take this call. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
I'm Jerry from Delaware, mm-hmm. And I designed the Mars rovers. I want to know if Mr. Horak knows about people on Mars.
Yes, sir. There are ETs on Mars right now. There are colonies, there are bases. I would say that it's not populated like anything on Earth, but there are different cultures, there are different species. It's a very populated place.
Yeah, that's what I've seen in the pictures.
Well, you're seeing correctly. I had one that I acquired before. I wish I'd stored it on some other media than my computer because that computer got burned up. But I had one that showed a spaceport. I mean, it was an obvious spaceport. It was a ledge. It came out. The opening of the ledge was a perfect rectangle. And there was the lip of it came out, and you could see craft on it. And I have no idea where I got that. It's been so long. But I was searching images, and I found that, and somehow I was able to render it pretty. I didn't have Photoshop or anything like that, but this was years ago. And it was obvious that it was a spaceport.
That is interesting. Yeah. I wonder if you know about jump rooms. Can you tell us about jump rooms?
Well, most people, when they're talking about stargates and jump rooms, they're using buzzwords, as far as I'm concerned, because they're more precise applications. Their transmission of matter, for instance, that's what I think of whenever you use the word jump room. I'm thinking about transmission of matter, which means you have to go to the destination first and put a receiver there. That's not always feasible, but if you have a base somewhere and you already have a presence there and you put one of these receivers there, that's transmission of matter. Yeah.
Okay. Jerry, we have about 30 seconds left if you have another question.
I'd like to know how ancient those Martians are compared to us. Are they related to us?
Well, they come from different times and different places. Now, the people that were on Mars when we came here had been here 500,000 years. But they had acquired such a high level of culture and civilization that they were ready to go up to become spiritual technology. And this is elegant. Very few cultures do this. But their idea is that they have acquired an understanding of the EMVs. And what they want to do is that they do not want to lose the experience of their culture after death. So what they do is the whole culture en masse goes into a state of spiritual technology where the mind and soul are encased in an energy field. And it's incredible, but these people, once they do this, they leave, and I think they go into stars, but I'm not sure where they go. They can go just about anywhere they want to go. They can go to another universe, but it's elegant. And
James,
if you had the privilege of knowing these people at the time before they go into this, and you see them on that path, they're the most astounding form of intelligent life you can imagine.
Unfortunately, we have to cut it off right there because we are out of time. James, thank you for being with us this evening. It's always astounding and very, very interesting. Thank you to everybody who called in. Thank you to those of you who sent flash messages. You made it happen, and I appreciate it. That's what this is about. It's about sharing information, exchanging ideas, asking questions, sometimes agreeing, sometimes disagreeing, but always about the information. Remember to get over to the website, kevinsmithshow.com, and click where it says Alternative Universe Eye Conference. Get your ticket right now. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you'd like to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.